Let's shift to the domestic political picture, which is complex right now in ways that don't fit cleanly on a partisan spectrum. Start with birthright citizenship, because there are actually two parallel tracks running simultaneously. Trump is pushing legislation in the Senate to restrict birthright citizenship following the Supreme Court's ruling, and separately, he's asking the Supreme Court to rehear the case. Those are actually contradictory strategies, in a sense. If you're confident in legislative action, you don't need a rehearing. If you're seeking a rehearing, you're hedging on the legislation. The fact that he's pursuing both suggests the White House itself isn't certain which avenue is viable.
The Senate Republican dynamics here are genuinely fractured. You have traditionalist conservatives who believe the 14th Amendment means exactly what it says, and who are uncomfortable with restrictions on birthright citizenship on constitutional originalist grounds. Then you have the immigration restrictionists who see this as the defining issue of the political moment. And you have moderates in swing states who are watching suburban voters very carefully. The coalition math for passing actual legislation, especially over a likely Senate filibuster requiring 60 votes, is not there right now.
Meanwhile, the Vance Task Force story deserves more attention than it's getting in terms of the raw numbers. The task force denied 96% of Medicare transplant claims after a 7,100% surge in applications. I want to sit with that 96% denial rate for a moment, because that figure, paired with a surge of that magnitude, tells two possible stories, and they have very different implications. Either the 7,100% surge reflects a dramatic uptick in fraudulent or inappropriate claims, which would justify aggressive denial, or the denial criteria were tightened so dramatically that legitimate patients are being turned away from life-saving procedures. Transplant claims are not a category where denial has minor consequences.
And the framing of a task force here is important. Task forces operate outside normal administrative procedure in ways that regular agency rulemaking doesn't. If the denial criteria were changed through task force action rather than formal CMS rulemaking, there's a serious question about whether the legal basis for those denials will hold up to judicial scrutiny. You can expect litigation on this, Marcus, and the underlying question of whether these were fraud prevention measures or access restriction measures will be central to those cases.
The judge who ordered Trump to pay E. Jean Carroll $5.8 million adds another legal dimension to the political week. And the former judge who helped an immigrant evade ICE and received a $5,000 fine rather than prison time is going to fuel significant Republican outrage going into the midterms. Trump has been invoking the word communism 81 times in a 2-week span, which is an unusually concentrated rhetorical campaign that suggests deliberate message testing ahead of November.
The Gavin Newsom story is interesting from a Democratic strategy perspective. He's launching a national campaign swing to boost Democrats. And separately, he's urging the party to embrace DSA-backed socialist candidates rather than fight them, arguing the party should be in the addition, not subtraction, business. Those two positions exist in some tension. A national campaign swing typically involves appearing with moderate incumbents, while embracing socialist primary winners could alienate exactly those moderates. The AP NORC poll showing that 58% of Democratic-identifying Jewish Americans now say the U.S. is too supportive of Israel, up from 45% in 2024, is the kind of polling shift that gives the Newsom coalition expansion argument some empirical grounding.
The Supreme Court approval drop to 36% is worth contextualizing against history. The court's approval was at 40% in 2022 after Dobbs, and in the mid-50s through most of the 2010s. Dropping to 36% with 50% active disapproval represents a legitimacy question that doesn't resolve itself. When Democrats run on court expansion and term limits, they now have a polling foundation to argue that's a response to public sentiment rather than mere partisan frustration.
The IRS automatic penalty relief for compliant taxpayers is a genuine consumer-facing win that's getting almost no political attention, which is a pattern in this administration, administrative decisions that benefit ordinary people are not being packaged and distributed politically the way they might be. And the H-1B visa fraud probe naming Cognizant is a significant corporate enforcement action that combines the administration's immigration skepticism with tech industry scrutiny. Cognizant is one of the largest H-1B employers in the country, and naming them publicly before an investigation concludes is itself a form of pressure.
The Trump-U.S.-Canada border treaty threat, revealed by Wall Street Journal reporting, is in a different category entirely. The 1908 Boundary Treaty is one of the foundational documents of North American bilateral relations. Threatening to tear it up and warning that it would cause Canada to unravel, if that characterization is accurate, represents a level of pressure on a neighboring democracy that goes well beyond normal trade negotiating tactics. The Canadian government's response has been measured publicly, but you can imagine what the private diplomatic conversations look like.